from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us scum and garbage among the peoples. All our enemies open their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have come over us. Devastation and destruction. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the daughters of my city. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They flung me alive into the pit and cast stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my cause. You have seen all their vengeance, all their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, all their plots against me. The lips and thoughts of my assailants are against me all day long. Behold their sitting and their rising. I am the object of their taunts. You will repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them dullness of heart. Your curse will be upon them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens, O Lord. Let's go to God in prayer together. Father, we come to you acknowledging you as the creator of heaven and earth, as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And Father, as the one to whom we go when there is no one else to whom we can go. Father, the hearts of all of us here today and of our countrymen are heavy at the events that have taken place in our land during the last week. Father, we see strife, we see division, we see anger, we see violence. And Father, we readily acknowledge that the answers to these problems are not within us. Father, we recognize our great dependence upon you. Father, we pray that you cure the things that are wrong in our hearts as a people. We pray, Father, that you turn the hearts of the people back to you and that you heal our land. Father, be with us and bless us in a special way so that we can love one another and truly be your people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I hope this week that you'll lift these names up to God in prayer. Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Brent Thompson, Patrick Zamaripa, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, and Lauren Ahrens. These were the ones that have been killed in three incidents in Louisiana, Minnesota, and Texas. Now, I suspect that all of us here today are experiencing a whirl of different emotions. from anger to fear to confusion to defensiveness to apathy. I hope one of those emotions is brokenheartedness, because as we've seen some struck down through no fault of their own, we're reminded that life is precious, that life is fleeting, that as James says, we're here as a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I don't know that I've ever seen a sense of tension and anxiety grip our nation as we've seen even in the last few days. That's not to look back and say that in the past things were always perfect, that they were always as they should be. That's not so. But I think all of us sense that there's something that's very, very wrong right now. There's something that needs to be fixed, and that we can't continue to go on as we've been going on. W.H. Auden wrote these words. They're titled September the 1st, 1939. As the world would be plunged into a catastrophic war for the second time in two decades. This is what he said. All I have is a voice to undo the folded lie, the romantic lie in the brain of the sensual man in the street, and the lie of authority whose buildings grope the sky. There is no such thing as the state, and no one exists alone. Hunger allows no choice to the citizen or to the police. We must love one another or die. And friends, so it is. I'm not going to stand up and give a running commentary on all the events that have taken place. I don't have perfect knowledge. I don't know what happened in all of those situations. But like you, I've seen a lot this week. I've seen some things that I wish I could unsee. My youngest son looked at me the other day when we were having lunch, and he said, I've seen three people murdered this week on television, and I've never seen that before in my life. And you've probably seen those things as well. For the family of Philando Castile, what do you say except that you pray for those that were left behind? Pulled over in a traffic stop because his muffler was malfunctioning, because a taillight was out, and things escalate, and he ends up being killed. I don't think you have to be Perry Mason to figure out that something has gone terribly wrong when that happens. There was the photo of the gun outside the car window, and Castile inside the car. And that ought to make the blood of everyone run cold. There's another photo of his grieving girlfriend. And how do you explain to a little four-year-old that daddy's not coming back because of the things that have just taken place? I'm going to say some things over the next few minutes that some of you aren't going to want to hear. You need to hear them anyway. And I don't say these things with any malice aforethought. And I'm probably going to say some things in the next few minutes that are going to make all of you a little uncomfortable. There's no guarantee in the Bible that you show up to church to be comforted. So bear with us. Those of us that are white need to try to understand the fear of many of our black brothers and sisters for being pulled over even in a routine traffic stop. Most white folks don't understand that. I was pulled over about a year and a half ago, and the officer told me, you have a headlight that's out. At no time did I fear for my safety. At no time did I think that this would be anything except a minor annoyance, which it was. So I did what any red-blooded American male would do. I drove my car home and I told my wife, and she replaced the headlight. God bless her. You think that's a joke. That's the truth. You can ask her. She'll answer questions for you. Last week, I was coming back with some of my brethren from a trip to visit one of our mission points in New Mexico. We were coming back through the mountains from Red River. We took off about 11:45 after I got done speaking there. And if you've ever been up at Red River, it takes a while to wind your way through the mountains. I mean, the roads are just like this. You're up at 9,000 feet elevation. We're coming back, and listen, let me say this. If you're going to send any snarky emails, spare me, okay? I believe that everyone should obey the laws of the land, okay, including our speed limits, okay? I've come to that. It's been an evolution over 40 years. But kids, don't speed. Stay in school. Say no to drugs. That's the cliche part of the sermon. So just, you know, you should obey the speed limit. I try to do that. Well, we're coming out of the mountains. I'm behind an 18-wheeler. For about an hour, we're going 20 miles an hour. I'm like, come on, you know, while we're young, I got to get home. I've been gone a long time. We finally get out of the mountains to a straightaway. And I pass the truck. And I'm like, yeah, good. And there's one of New Mexico's finest up there in an unmarked car. Well, I'm like, oh no, you know, this is bad enough. I've got a fellow minister in the car. I've got my ministry intern, Jackson House, in the car. I've got Dan Barrington, an all-around good man, in the car. And I'm like, I hate being a bad example, and here I am, and I've broken the law, so they pull me over. Officer comes up. I'm as annoyed as I can be. I'm like, you know, do you know how fast you were going? I said, well, I'm assuming faster than I was supposed to. I said, yes, you were going 72 in a 55 zone. I said, well, I'm sorry about that. I said, there are a couple of mitigating circumstances. One, we've just come from a religious conference. I'm not above pulling out the Bible card if it'll help, okay? And he was completely unmoved by that. I said, secondly, we've been following this truck going 20 miles an hour. I think I got a little excited and got around him. I'm sorry about that. And I'm like, you know, I'm a religious figure. Surely I'm going to get a warning here, right? No. So, well, I have to give you a citation. I said, well, you don't have to, but, you know, he said, I'm going to. So I'm going back there and writing up the ticket, and in a few minutes, I'll call you back to the car. And I actually said this. I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, there aren't many black folks that would say something like that, because their experience dealing with the police is frequently different than ours. Now, I can say this. This man was as polite as he could possibly be dealing with a scofflaw from Arkansas. I appreciated that. He even brought the ticket down from $122 to $91. Bless his heart. When's the last time you got pulled over? Were you in fear for your safety? Were you in fear for your family? No. Because that's something that most white people just cannot even conceive of. We can't. But talk to any of our black citizens and see if they feel the same. You know, that's one of the issues that the Black Lives Matter group has made a cause célèbre over the last few years. And if we're being honest, we'd have to say that there's some validity to that. The experiences of white people and black people sometimes dealing with law officers can be very different. And that's something that we need to take a great deal of empathy and sympathy to try to understand a little bit better than we do. Now, having said that, let me say something that maybe comes from the other side. I mentioned the Black Lives Movement. Let's go to the next picture if we could. This has been one of the things that the movement has tried to focus attention upon, that indeed black lives matter. And I don't think there's any of us that would be fair-minded that would say otherwise. Of course they do. And white lives matter, And Asian lives matter, and blue lives matter. All lives should matter. Shouldn't be just one particular group, but there have been some inequities. There have been some injustices. I think fairness would cause us to acknowledge that. But speaking to black folks, this has been one of the things that has been a constant source of frustration to a lot of white folks. It seems as if there are certain situations and there are certain people and there are certain incidents that seem to matter more than other incidents. Let me cite this. You might not be aware of it. Last weekend, the 4th of July weekend, that holiday 4 days that everybody enjoyed, in the city of Chicago, there were 82 shootings. There were 14 murders. Maybe I just wasn't there, but I didn't hear the Black Lives Matters group say anything about that. What about those 82 people? What about those 14 that lost their lives? Shouldn't those things matter too? There almost seems to be a situation of picking and choosing what matters and what doesn't matter. I would say that all lives matter to God. All of us have been created in the image of God. That should imbue a certain sacredness to human life. But there are a lot of people in our land to whom human life means very little, especially if it gets in the way of their own agenda or their ability to make money. You know, a couple of years ago, when the young man from Australia who was playing baseball in Oklahoma was shot and killed by three kids, two of them black and one of them white, I made mention of how shameful that is for our land. And one of our PV members got really upset with me and said, "I'm sick of you talking about these things." I said, "Talking about what things? Man's inhumanity to his fellow man, or violence, or murder?" He said, "No, talking about guns. You're trying to take away my guns." Let me say this as plainly as I can. I don't care about you and your guns. You can have an arsenal as far as I'm concerned. That's between you and the framers of the Constitution. That's not my business. It's not my place to legislate that. So I'm not coming for you or for your guns. I'm not speaking to that. I'm speaking to the fact that what is it within us that thinks that there is a way to solve any problem that we have with violence? The Bible talks about that. You know, it's interesting that there was a photo in one of the places in Chicago. They put a sign up. Friends, that just makes me want to cry. Things are so bad in that particular precinct in Chicago that they got to put signs up that tell people not to shoot because little kids are playing. Something's got to be done about this. Now, somebody might say, "Well, you realize, don't you, Chicago has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the nation." I do recognize that. And I also know that the law doesn't mean anything to criminals that want to take guns and just start shooting people. I recognize that. I've got friends here that have all kinds of guns, and they have never and will never cause anyone a moment's problem. Now, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about there's something in our country in which people figure that guns are the answer to everything, that violence is the answer to everything. It's not. What did Auden say? "We must love one another or we must die." Do you want to live in a place where you got to put up signs like this, pleading with your fellow citizens not to shoot because kids are at play? Something's gone terribly wrong when we've reached such a pass. And what about what's gone on the last few days in Dallas? Surely you've noticed this. The chief of police, Chief Brown, has been in front of the cameras all week. And in the aftermath of the killings in Louisiana and Minnesota, one former military personnel just decided he was going to get his gun and going out and he was going to start shooting people. And this is what the chief of police said about the suspect. "The suspect was upset over recent police shootings. He was upset at white people. He stated he wanted to kill white people, especially white officers." And he did that. Now, I would ask the question, so what was solved with that? Anything? Have people been brought closer together, or have they been driven even further apart? You know, at times like that, people will start citing the Bible, and it's interesting to me how we pick and choose which verses we'd like to follow and ignore the ones that we don't like. Well, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, it says that in the Old Testament. Yeah, it does. And Jesus also said that that's no way to live. He said, how about praying for your enemies? How about turning the other cheek? How about taking the name of the person that's despitefully using you to God and asking Him to bless them and not curse them? I like what Gandhi said about the words of Jesus. As Jesus referenced an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Gandhi said, the only problem with that is that it leaves everybody blind and toothless. And so it does. Friends, violence isn't the answer. Hatred isn't the answer. Fear and suspicion and distrust and revenge, those aren't the answers. I was speaking up in northern Arkansas yesterday at a Bible lectureship. And one of the people sitting down in the audience to my left was a state trooper. I know that because he had his uniform on and there was a badge on his chest, and he had a patch on his shoulder and said, Arkansas State Trooper. See, I don't miss much. He came down after the sermon and was talking to me, and I looked him in the eye, and this is what I said. I said, God bless you and all of those men and women that are serving with you, because you have a really difficult job. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a police officer in this day and time. You don't know when you go up and pull somebody over and that window rolls down, what's waiting on you. You know, a job where you take your life in hand every day. And this is what he said. He said, you know, the people that have the greatest interest in rooting out the bad cops that are bullying people and overreacting and killing people, he said, it's us. He said, because that makes all of us look bad. He said, most cops are not that way. I said, I understand that. And I said, we're going to be praying for you that things can be better. Did you see what happened over the last few days in Dallas? There were police that were being fired upon. And as most people would instinctively run away from the bullets, these folks were running toward the bullets, putting themselves in harm's way to protect the very people that were protesting against them. That's courage, friends. What did Jesus say? Greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. What does it say that a man would lay down his life for people that aren't his friends, but that are protesting him and that are angry with him? Surely that's even greater. There's another photo of the officers that were outside the hospital. Look at the expressions on their faces. Their brothers had been shot and killed, putting themselves on the front line to protect and serve. Romans 13 has a lot to say about the duties of the Christian as a citizen. It says, basically, summarizing it, that you owe respect and honor to those whom respect and honor is due. It said they are God's authorities to punish the wrongdoer. We're not making excuses for police officers or anyone else who don't do right. They should be subject to the same laws that everyone else is. But let's not be too quick to rush to judgment and to act like that these people are our enemies. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, you know, when I see that flashing light, my first thought is, for crying out loud. Honestly, there are people out there selling meth to six-year-olds. Leave me alone. I was going five over, okay? Who cares? That's really not the right attitude. The right attitude is this: those folks are out there serving. They're out there helping in most instances. Do you think that these folks are seeing color? Do you think that these folks are seeing racial agendas? Do you think that these folks are seeing we've got to go and get even against the people that have hurt us? Friend, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is going to leave us all blind and toothless. It is. I pray that God will heal those who are brokenhearted. For those that we've mentioned, I pray that God will bless their families. I know my heart is heavy over the pain that must be felt in those households even now. And I know that there's not an easy, quick fix to any of this. No one's going to come in and wave their hand and fix it all. There's no panacea that's going to solve all of our problems. But ultimately, we must love one another or we must die. It's really all that remains. My prayer for our land is that God will start working on the hearts of all of our people. That when there is racism, that will be rooted out. When there is bitterness and resentment, that will give way to love. When there's this idea that we've got to go ahead and get even against people that have been unfair to us, who've been mean to us, that instead we will choose to follow the way of Jesus, who, even though he did no sin, became sin for us. When I sit back and start thinking that one of the goals of my life should be to even the score against anyone that's been unkind or unfair to me, I look at the way that Jesus treated the people who were unkind and unfair to him. And then I'm ashamed that I don't do a better job of following him. May God heal our land. May God turn the hearts of the people back to him. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.